than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that, I'm a nerd.
All right, welcome to Dial-A-Dork, everyone. My name is Irv, and we are live in my basement. We have a full house tonight. We've got everybody here. We've got Dork Almighty Matt Minar.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
Oh, that was sandwiches. Super loud, and he is munching on some sort of meat-based product sandwiched encased between two slices of starch-based product.
It's Chewbacca.
I wish that we were getting paid by
Chewbacca
Panera,
bread.
But this is an Italian combo sandwich. It is a fine.
Do you have to be Italian to get that sandwich?
You have to be Italian to get
tonight's Panera. Show not brought to you by Panera.
By Panera.
Unfortunately,
can it be brought to you by the Happy
and
Dog?
Cheese.
And tomatoes?
Tonight's show brought to you by the Happy Dog on Detroit and West 58th, where you can get a basket of deep-fried tater tots. Nothing to be sneezed at. I'm also joined tonight by the nicknameless Russ Miller. Russ,
yo,
how are you?
What in the house?
Wait a minute.
Aren't literally,
tater tots
that's true.
By definition, deep-fried?
No. They can be baked.
Yeah, but they're deep fried first. That's what I'm saying.
Matt, you need a napkin.
No, I think they're flash fried.
Am
I dribbling?
It looks like you blew a seal.
Oh, let me tell you, he was good.
Tylenol and a horny walrus. Both looking for a tight seal. Okay, and we've got Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan. Drew, how are you?
Hello.
Great, great. Oh, Drew, you peaked a little there. Let's try that again.
Sorry.
You're peaking.
Okay, that's good.
I won't peek again.
Okay, please don't peek. And, of course, my name's Irv Katz. You know me. Yoko the Architect is here, but she's actually doing actual work. Actual architecture,
cool.
If you can actually believe. Yoko the Architect is doing actual architecting.
Damn, she does have a job.
I don't know. And we are joined by also
Madden.
Special guest,
no
Dr. J, yeah. James Schmidt, all-purpose physicist.
Yo.
And he's the science guy.
He's Dr. J, the
it
science.
Looks better than Bill Nye, though.
Dr. J, the science gay.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm representing the MC Delta T crew tonight. Thank you very much. And if you got that joke, you are truly a dork.
That's awesome. The hand signals. If you could have seen the hand signals, by the way, the hand signals were fantastic.
It really is a sight to behold.
Actually, why don't we jump right into things? We will get to some geek-based news, but since James went through all the trouble of being here, we might as well hit him upside the head with a couple of questions right off the bat. And I've been chomping at the bit to ask this one. James, are you ready?
I will do my best.
Okay. What I'd like to know is, please tell me, what is a sonic boom and how do they happen?
Well, obviously everybody knows a sonic boom comes from the Street Fighter II game. It is the special move from Guile, and I believe it's down, down, forward, forward, and any of the punch combinations.
Okay.
You want a real sonic boom, though, actually.
I'm talking about maybe sort of the kind that are produced by
Mach 1.
By
ultrasonic. Okay, supersonic planes produce a sonic boom. Basically, what it refers to is a pileup of sound waves. Sound travels away from a plane at the speed of sound. Go figure.
So regularly, like your regular, Delta Airlines jet, sound is moving away from the plane faster than the plane is actually moving.
Right. Imagine, think if you will, of a boat, okay? If you turn around and look behind the back of a motorboat, there's a wake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that wake is essentially a pileup of all of the waves that are made as that boat moves through the water. If a rowboat were moving along, that wake would spread way out because the rowboat wouldn't be moving very fast. But because the motorboat's moving so much faster, those waves get piled up, and that's where you get sort of that wake, that crest.
Do they positively interfere?
That's actually correct terminology. Way to go, Russ.
Ding,
maybe
ding.
Maybe you could be called Russ Positive Interference, and that could be your new nickname.
Russ Amateur Science Guy.
Amateur Science Guy. Yeah, but
Russ is responsible for negative interference.
That's who isn't?
It's my speciality.
Who isn't? But okay. So that's the sonic boom is basically the large pile of sound waves that you hear. If a plane flies overhead, you would hear a very large.
Okay, but
again,
but why does it go in sudden? I mean, is it a boom? Or is it like one sudden boom?
It wouldn't be a large boom. What it would actually be is a very a big pile up of noise. It would sound like a huge pile up of noise, a lot like that, but louder and lasting longer.
And so booms can last longer. I don't think I've ever actually heard one.
You probably haven't, because most of the time the rules are that when they fly, as far as I know, that when they fly above sonic, you know, above the speed of sound, they have to be at much higher altitudes so that they don't cause damage. You could actually get physical damage, you know, windows breaking.
Really?
Yeah, branches knocked out of trees if they flew low enough, but they do have to fly very high, I believe, when they
but
do that.
But they used to be able to do it at air shows. Way back in the day.
Now it scares people in this post 9/11 atmosphere.
That's a whole generation of deaf people.
I think you have to ask for clearance to do a flyby on the tower. I'm going to have to check with Maverick on that, though.
Ghost Rider, this is
negative. Negative. Pattern is full.
No more Top Gun jokes.
How about Airplane?
Surely you can't be serious.
So what's our clearance, Clarence?
I'm completely serious.
I have a scientific question.
What's your vector, Victor?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
If it was theoretically possible to travel faster than light, could you have a light boom if you were emitting light and going fast enough?
Ah, that's interesting. No.
Yeah, that's a relativity thing, right?
Well, it's also because light
was possible. It is,
but it isn't, because light travels kind of, it exhibit wave effects, but it's a particle. It's different than a sound wave, which is basically a pileup of compression and rarefaction, a smushing, like almost like a slinky being shaken back and forth. Compression and expansion of the pressure of air, yeah, of a series of particles that are smushed and pulled apart.
Or like
light's
of
particles.
Of bone, like are those like bone induction headphones don't actually move air, do they?
No, what those do is they vibrate your jaw and
your jaw moves the air in the inside
of
your inner ear?
No, it actually vibrates your
eardrum.
In fact, it's funny, I built one of those just a couple weekends ago as part of a physics teacher's workshop
it's
I put
part
on.
Part of a weapon.
It's, well, you... You have to
Sounds
listen
like a
real
porno
hard.
Film.
But what you can do, actually, if you get it
bone
good...
Bone induction.
I'm so happy you said that. Okay, but if you get it working properly, you can actually use the person's eardrums as a speaker. You could put your
no
ear...
No way.
It's true, because their eardrum is vibrating, awesome. And you can put your head next to their ear, and you can hear their eardrum vibrating the air inside their ear canal, and their ear acts as a speaker, and you can listen.
This
to
is
going to
be the next James Bond film,
isn't
it?
Is this
it
why
is super
you can
cool.
use a headphones as a microphone? As
why
I demonstrated?
Yeah, basically, yeah. And that was, that. I have to tell you, that was one of the damn coolest things I've ever seen you do, Herbcast. That was outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
you
that's
use,
true.
You can, in a pinch, like especially with the input in the back of your sound card, you can use headphones as a microphone.
That's the right. coolest thing you saw him do.
He's really
I
not that
done
impressive.
Really a whole lot.
No, he doesn't do a whole lot.
Not in front of
you
James.
Know,
not, yeah, it's not that I've ever seen.
In an old Tom Clancy novel, Jack Ryan asks, how come I'm in a supersonic jet, I can hear the engines? And I thought the answer was very relevant to that. It travels faster in metal than it does in the air.
That's true. You're also
so
moving along.
It keeps
with
up. Yeah, it goes with you.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay, here's my next question. My next question is what is wind? And when I'm like standing outside on a windy day on Euclid Avenue, what am I actually feeling? Is it particles or,
pretty sure
or
that's
what?
That's moving air. Yeah, that's moving air. No, I'm not a weather guy, but go ahead.
All right, due to my dorkiness, I read Scientific American this past weekend.
Talking
about
the
actually talk about wind.
And one of the questions at the end of the magazine was, what is wind?
this is so exciting. I swear to God I didn't see that.
The
I swear
answer
to God.
Was thus. It is simply the movement of air from temperature due to temperature variations. The sun unevenly warms the earth.
The sun or CIA people.
Or CIA.
They want to cause Katrina.
Or
Mr.
People,
Burns.
Or people who are anti, you know, environmental, they warm it too.
Yeah.
Hence.
Over cities.
Over
the
vast,
air is warmer.
You know, areas of land, the temperature differentiation causes the air to move and flow, and that's how you feel wind. And that's all there is to
and,
it.
And air is just particles?
What are you, in crack?
I don't know what it is.
Yes.
There's a lot
particle
of nitrogen
man.
Involved.
Yes, it
if you're scared of nitrogen,
does
avoid it.
A particle can.
Nitrogen's no big deal. Very inert.
Okay.
So
all right. Well,
I
guess that's
question.
Satisfactory.
Oh, okay.
Question.
Go for it. Shoot.
briefly explain string theory and why it's important to the Big Bang?
Totally read that.
Did you totally read that?
I read a little bit about string theory, which I really only understood as a word up to that article.
I've read a whole lot about it, and I don't understand a whole lot about it.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of hoping you could help.
The principle that at the very, instead of like classic physics models a lot of things as points.
Right.
And the essence of string theory is that instead of points, we use lines, like a one-dimensional object, which
right.
is a string.
A vibrating string that contains the energy inherent in the particles, which...
Yeah. yeah. Past that, I'm gone.
I read a huge book on it by the
really
experts.
That was really interesting.
Brian Greene, Elegant Universe, fantastic book.
Brian Austin Greene?
Not Brian Austin Greene. thank you for asking, though. Brian Shecky Greene. No?
Okay.
Brian Amon Green.
Brian Amon Green, that's correct.
Since he's out for the season, he can get back to his research.
That's right. But he wrote the book on it, literally, called The Elegant Universe, and it explains an awful lot about what they believe string theory or M theory to be. And it's always changing, so, you know, I haven't read any new books, although I'm sure there are some. And apparently there's a new book coming out by Lawrence Krauss, the head of the physics department at Case Western.
Is this a lead-in?
This is. I was going to say we could use this as a lead-in to begin talking about the World Year of Physics, which you are in right now. Little did you know. But he'll be talking at a big celebration down at Case. By celebration, I mean a dork fest, and by Case, I mean Case Western.
And by Case Western, you mean a dork fest?
Yeah, also mean a dork fest. But he's written a new book that, honestly, I don't remember the name of.
Are we talking about?
Because I don't believe it's come out yet. Lawrence Krauss, he's the department chairman. He wrote The Physics of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And a couple other books. He really is
And he's really lobbying on the behalf of Ohio not to make kids stupider, which is nice.
It's really, you know what, we're not making them any dumber. They're doing it to themselves. No,
well,
that's not true. Anybody who I work with who heard that.
But let me just say, 2005 has been named by the United Nations and several other international organizations as the World Year of Physics in honor of the miracle year, 1905. In which Albert Einstein wrote five seminal papers, which all stuck together.
Seminal.
Right, each of which dramatically changed the way we think about the universe. 1905 was also an important year for physics in Cleveland, as the new Rockefeller Physics Laboratory was completed in that year. This building still stands today as the home of physics at Case, undergone extensive renovation in 93 to 94, although... Who could tell?
I could tell. I was inside the
To accommodate the new research laboratories, teaching laboratories, offices, and classrooms that have grown as the physics department has been revitalized in the past decade to become one of the most active mid-sized departments in the country and home to world-class research programs from particle astrophysics to nanotechnology and entrepreneurship. To celebrate this dual centenary and recent designation of Case's physics department as the first World Year of Physics International Historical Site by the American Institute of Physics, in honor of the famous Michelson-Morley experiment,
woo!
Which proved that you could not throw a corned beef sandwich all the way across the quad.
Not close.
Okay. The physics department, in partnership with the College of Arts and Sciences, Case Alumni, blah, blah, blah.
Wow, that was extemporaneously done.
They're going to have a big thing at Severance Hall, open to the public, home of the Cleveland Orchestra, on the afternoon of November the 14th, 2005. Speakers for the event include Walter Isaacson, former chair and CEO of CNN, editorial director of Time Magazine, and author of Kissinger, a biography, and the recent bestseller, Corned Beef Sandwich, The Michelson-Morley Experiment.
Got nothing.
Also speaking will be Lawrence M. Krauss, which is the Ambrose Swayze Professor of Physics.
That's Ambrose Patrick Swayze.
Yes, the Professor
dedicated
of Physics.
Dedicated after Roadhouse.
Who wrote the seminal paper...
which stuck together.
check out my semen.
The seminal paper about Lambada and how it relates to G-string theory.
No. But the question, of course, is can you throw a seminal paper across the corner?
Yeah. Nobody puts corned beef in a corner.
For,
I don't even know what you
for
guys
very
are
long.
I can play.
Harold Varmus will be speaking. He's president of the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, former director of NIH, Nobel laureate in medicine.
What the hell does that have to do with physics?
It's who they could
There's
get.
A lot of physics in
which,
imaging
it actually is what physics and Einstein have done for biology and medicine.
And stuff, yeah.
His topic is what physics and Einstein have done for biology and medicine.
You just send people away at the speed of light and figure it out when they come back?
You couldn't have an MRI without
physics.
That's right.
He's the author
of
the seminal paper,
Don't ask what Einstein can do for you, but ask yourself what you can do for Einstein.
That's right.
Frank Wilczek, the Herman Feshbach Professor of Physics, MIT, and Nobel Laureate in Physics 2004, for the discovery of, get this, asymptotic freedom in the theory of the strong interaction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Extremely
That's
important.
Big. That and, is huge.
And you have no idea what it means.
Well,
do you?
I mean, does how? To, well,
when you get
I
really
know
close
that it
to
means
stuff,
that you
stuff
can
happens.
Pile on a hell of a lot more corned beef. on a sandwich using
that's
the proper
the
machinery.
Yes, that's
Do you
what
think
the asymptotic
corned beef molecules
is.
Are subject to strong or weak forces?
Both.
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 Strong breath forces.
Strong breath forces.
All right, seriously, why don't you explain what Wilczek's achievement means?
I'm not going to tell you because it would melt your head, but I will tell you that the topic of his,
that would be so
his
cool.
talk is the origin of mass and the feebleness of gravity, which is kind of interesting because gravity, as much as it binds us to this planet, is the weakest of all of the four forces that we consider to be fundamental.
I like gravity.
I like gravity too, gravity. But gravity can be a real downer.
Yoko hates gravity.
Oh my God. Awesome. So that's pretty much it in terms
but
of the
speakers. One more thing, if I may add, at 12, from 12:30 to 1:30, there'll be a panel discussion moderated by Ira Flato from Science
guy.
Friday.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to make a donation to Public Radio, the pledge number is 866-629-3636. And he'll be talking about does Einstein have a legacy in
Don't
the 21st century?
Don't listen to
the
radio, Russ.
I have heard that.
So you can go to Case's website and you can register for this wonderful event.
The website is www.case.edu/event/physics and on the
/reg/pants
semicolon hemicolon full colon
tilde.
Tilde underscore ampersand XXMY. No, none of that's true. But all you have to do is register. And it says contest. There's a contest to name 21st century physicist, which will go around Rockefeller.
Hold on.
It's okay. There's some nonsense.
Russ is doing. Okay.
Petting your dog.
Oh, you're petting the
that's
dog?
That's not a euphemism.
Okay.
But you should see what the dog's doing.
Can I continue something else about it real quick? Let me
by
tell you something
means,
about just
means.
About the World Year of Physics in general.
Yeah, please.
If you go to
that's a weird title.
I thought it was a weird title when they announced it that it was going to be happening two years ago.
It sounds much better in German, which was how it
was. Das World Year of Physics.
Yeah. Das Jahr in
Jahrentein Physics.
Das
no,
der if, Munden I spoke, in physics.
If I spoke German, they would make me unlearn it. At www.physics2005.org, that's the entire World Year of Physics website. They have a list of other events that are happening.
Has the world not been really participating in the physics before?
You know, it's not like we were doing a whole lot ahead of time. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of people who were like, physics, how can I get involved? But there are projects. Yeah. There's things for educators. I'm a physics teacher, and there's a whole ton of...
Do you mean edumacators?
An edumacator, that's right. A whole ton of different things about, you know, the World Year of Physics that you can become involved with in different ways. So that's all awesome. I have to say about that.
That's Rizzoc. Great. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys realize that this year is the 20th anniversary of the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Now, that's a big deal.
Were you aware of this?
No.
We have physics to thank for that, too.
That's true.
We do?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Say, Russ, you're listening on the headphones. How are everybody's levels?
That's my level.
I'll let you know. You're sounding good.
Level.
Matt's occasionally a little low.
Level.
You're good, Herb.
Low?
You're a little low. You're good now. Just talking. When you were talking for a little while, you tended to wander from the mic, and then you couldn't hear so good, and then you were bad.
I got to work on that.
It's a skill.
All right. Well,
get your head out of your ass. Your voice will sound better.
Was just fantastic. Are we going to this event? Should we go?
I've already registered myself, and I've asked
Does
if I can bring
cost
my
money?
Class.
I kinda
it is free.
Go.
No, it is free,
free
and
to the public.
I don't know. I don't know if there is.
You
no,
have
not
to
free
answer a Star
beer.
Wars or Star Trek trivia question to get into the building.
Yes.
We can do that.
You must be at least this dorky to ride this ride. No, I believe it's open to anybody. There's a spot when you register where you can tell them if you're a Case alum or an undergraduate or graduate or whatever, but I don't think it's necessary as long as you tell them what you're affiliated
Nor
with.
Nor do I think it gets
you
a better
are.
Seat.
I'm kind of hoping it does because I'm dropping all kinds of things there. Alumni, physics teachers.
Well, I'm
going to
throw
get.
My pocket protector up on the stage.
Word. I'm just going to tell them I'm affiliated with Dial-A-Dork and
that's
I'm
right.
get us you know, front row seating.
Yeah, we should
oh, yeah, Dial-A-Dork.
You think we should go there and do some Man on the Street stuff with Yoko the Architect?
I think that would
Yoko
be fantastic.
Yoko would do fantastic interviews.
If she doesn't have to work. Oh, wait. I bet she does it Friday afternoon.
Oh, it's Friday afternoon?
Oh, she's got
Isn't it?
Oh,
power in the go. Middle of the... I don't even know when it is.
Me being self-employed, I'm sure I can give myself the day off.
Self-unemployed. Employment.
Self-unemployed. Yes, right. I'm self-unemployed.
I want to give a shout-out to Drew's wife for making this incredible...
Pumpkin fudge.
It's quite...
Pumpkin nut fudge.
You know, due credit.
I'm a pumpkin fudge
Drew
nut.
Packed it.
God. He gets no credit.
I'm officially
he just
a pumpkin
brought it.
Fudge
he was
nut.
The messenger. We either kill him or we, you know, give him credit. We don't want to do it.
Oh,
kill
I'm me. Sorry. Let me retell you the date on this. This is Monday, November 14th. So I'm all sure right. That's a fun day to get off of work.
I don't know. I might try for that, though. That sounds pretty cool.
Physics Mondays always gets me down.
He brings
yes.
it to the masses.
Rainy days and Mondays.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about the NES. Did any of you actually own the NES? Now,
yep.
I never did.
Yep.
We're all too old. I did not have an NES. I did not have a Super NES. I did not have a Sega Genesis. I did not have an NEC TurboGrafx.
That's because you were lame.
I definitely didn't have a Neo
lame.
Geo.
Lame.
No, I had an Atari 2600, and yes. then I had a Commodore 64, which...
Lame.
Which could, you know, which didn't
my
need
NES
to be replaced for many, many
all over
years.
Your Commodore.
Yeah, and now...
That's horse shit.
Okay, and now all of them can be run with some little emulator somewhere. Hey,
you know,
so yeah,
you
I
know what's so
NES.
Amazing about the emulators? You know, the Vice emulator for Commodore 64, the MAME emulator, the multiple arcade machine emulator, all the Apple emulators and all the Mac emulators and all this stuff. It is so amazing because when I was a kid, I literally lived and died on whether or not I could get another quarter to play, you know, a video game in the arcade, or if I could have this cartridge or that game or whatever, or if, you know, my buddy Ray Smith would let me borrow one of his 5 1/4 inch floppies with a cracked version of Ultima 2 or something like that for the Commodore 64. Now I can just, I mean, it's not really legal or anything, but man, I can just play them all as often as I want. And I find very rapidly that I don't really want to play them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's amazing. It's just amazing that I really wasted my youth.
There is pleasure simply in the fact that you could play them if you so chose to do so.
Well, yeah, and every now and then I do. I mean, I'll fire up Vice and I'll play a game of Mule.
Yeah,
or I'll play. I mean, in fact, I'm looking for the Mule as a ringtone so I can put it on my phone.
That's a great idea.
Because it's a great little song. I don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. Russ and Drew are having a little conversation.
It doesn't matter. They're
it's much more interesting.
Well, what are you talking about?
It's really interesting.
Did you bring enough to share?
By location.
Somebody on a blog I'm reading here, trying to get caught up for interesting topics for the show, mentions that there's a beer that tastes like bourbon.
Yes.
Just
Great
this
Lakes.
Weekend.
It's called Beerbin. Weekend.
I had one in Pittsburgh.
Burbier?
In Pittsburgh, there's a bar made from a church.
Church brewery.
The
that
church
place is
it's
awesome.
Ridiculous. It's not
awesome.
Like a little church. It's like a huge. It's kind of disturbing for anyone with a
like
lot of
bourbon
traditional
in a bar
church.
That feels like church.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't
you
know.
Can really get some religion
there's beer
in there, man.
And there's bourbon.
Fine God.
That's what I got.
So you got bourbon, bourbon flavored beer.
Yes.
Did you bring back one of their large glass jugs? You can get them filled up.
It was kind
of
weird tasting, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I drank it. But it was weird.
I got a question for
Great
Matt.
Great Lakes just came out with
Yo.
One of those.
I got a question for Matt over there. Matt, what can you tell us about Slackware?
Well,
it's the best technology 1995 can offer. I believe that was a quote recently. I read
that was
somewhere.
A quote, something like that. On a despair poster. Honestly, I haven't looked at Slackware in years. I saw the article today on Slashdot, and you know, indeed, back in the day, I think it was the king of the hill.
Yep.
But
everyone was using it.
You
back
know,
in
other distributions
case.
Have come and gone, and you know, Slackware's still there and is a contender.
I think
so
the flavor of the month is Ubuntu.
Yeah, it might be.
Well, we talked about Ubuntu about a couple of months ago, and we asked Matt about it, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't like it."
You didn't.
That's what
me
you
about
said.
That.
Yeah, we did.
I wasn't here a couple of weeks ago.
No, I said a couple months ago.
Oh, a couple months ago.
It's Debian, but more pragmatic.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Okay. Let me get a little
here,
Linux primer
here
from you, Matt.
Here is the interesting thing. Listen.
Or primer.
It is. It's a very, rimmer? Very similar to a lot of other things. But you find a distribution that you like, and you deal with it, and you.
Well, what's
much
to
stick
like about one distribution
is
or
that
another?
Not correct or not?
Linux is a kernel. It's an operating system that deals with the hardware and gives you some good things to do with that hardware. And the packages that go on, you take that same Linux kernel and you put some other applications around it, and that becomes usable for a user operating system. And
it comes down to
so one
the organization they give to the distribution is probably the most important thing.
The organization?
Yeah. Like if
what
you,
do you
put
mean?
In the classic sense, Etsy, the etc directory has a lot of configuration in it. Debian puts it somewhere else.
I wish I'm a timer
I
here.
Forgot
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't
and
do
actually, Debian's really big on having very their organization. It makes a lot more sense, but it's different. You can't go find all your config files in the same place amongst the distributions.
Okay.
So you get used to one when you go to your config.
You get used to one, and you join the community.
Yeah, I mean, if you get used to one, it almost doesn't matter that one's actually better than the other for someone just learning it.
If we have like Ubuntu and Red Hat and Debian and
Mepis,
right?
And what?
Mepis.
Mepis and Suzy, and are they all using the exact same kernel?
Yes.
No.
No.
What do you mean?
Well,
you can use a different version.
Yes, and by yes, I mean some of them patch faster than others.
But they're all working off the Linux project kernel project at some point or the other.
There really is like some sort of central authority that really
that's the
Linus
whole idea.
Torvalds
and everybody's
still
just like a little Microsoft working off of these this kernel.
Not everything
maps to the Microsoft world, Irv.
Thank God.
They're just trying to use a metaphor.
It's more like a Holly Berry.
Wow. I don't know what he's
Halle
talking
Berry?
About.
Halle Berry?
She has six toes. Did you see that?
In Swordfish.
What?
Google it.
That's a lot.
Halle Berry has six toes?
Google it.
Talk amongst yourselves. I must know.
Right. So one of the big cool distinctions about one
Linux
of the
derailed
packages,
by six toe.
Red Hat's big. It has the Etsy
superficial
sort of
Halle Berry is six toes
thing. Debian has this hierarchy and a very nice organization, but they also have this huge reliance on open source, free, and open software. Ubuntu says, you know what? We're going to use Debian's good ideas. But we're going to not be so hardcore about not letting packages in that might be really useful for people that aren't quite as free as others with different licenses and things like that. So that's
you know a lot about this, Russ.
I read some stuff.
He is a learned man.
All right. So,
some packages that go even farther. Like you mentioned Suzy, Suzy, Red Hat. Those are very user-based ones.
With like big
graphical
front ends.
There's a bunch that like actually take that kernel and don't have that full user functionality, all the same functionality wrapped around it, and make very like lightweight embedded systems, things you can just stick into.
Let's talk about Nopix, for that matter. That's a distribution.
You can do a lot of things with that kernel.
From a CD.
Can you run them from those little USB
micro
drives and
things? Too. Yeah.
All right, so you're saying one like Red Hat or something would be good if you've never used Linux before?
Well, I'm not making any recommendations, but yes, that would be fine.
Yeah, actually.
But if you use
Red Hat costs money, use Fedora, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you use Fedora or whatever, I mean, are you going to really learn about Linux, or is it just is it going to be like a Windows knockoff?
Not at all.
You know, I think one of the luxuries.
If you do a basic install and you just sit in a GUI and don't try to learn what's going on underneath it, yeah, you're in a Windows world.
Yeah. But it's a luxury though, because you can do that and use the system, and then as you get more curious and maybe as your time allows and your comfort grows,
or you have a need,
you
that,
can dig down. In Windows, you just can't do that.
Yeah, Windows really obfuscates the workings, the inner workings. You can't get to it.
Right.
You can't find it. It's all protected.
Linux affords you that.
Well, the old GUIs
Linux
always
gives you
that
opportunity to totally and permanently destroy your system with one command.
Was huge in giving you the opportunity to go beneath the GUI, because you couldn't do it in Macs either. It was the big fall down before.
So anyway, what brought about this question?
Noticing that a new version of
what's
Slackware.
What's a sonic boom? What's wind? What's Slackware?
It's like a 5-year-old today.
You sound like Calvin. Hey, has anyone seen the new compilation of all the Calvin and Hobbes stuff?
No.
No.
I want that. That's all on my Christmas list.
Totally overrated.
Calvin and Hobbes?
Seriously?
Get out of the basement.
You just lose
two
respect points.
Ridiculous, man.
Hey, what? I'm not allowed to dislike
have a bad
Calvin
opinion?
And Hobbes.
No.
I don't
Some
care.
Of the best art and honestly the best themes in comics in the last 30 years.
I just got sick of him pissing on stuff.
Well, who can't enjoy transmogrification?
That's too bad. Hey, did you guys see that ViewSonic is going to release an LCD display with a 3-millisecond response time?
That's a lot of response time.
I mean, I thought that, like, the top of the line Samsung right now is 8 milliseconds, and so 3 milliseconds.
What's
is,
my laptop? What's your laptop?
I don't know.
Somewhere in between.
Mine's probably Samsung.
And 22.
Oh, what brand or
probably
what response
up on
time?
The higher end of that.
It's probably very slow.
What does
very
it mean
slow.
To have a response
Mine's
time
old.
Of 3 milliseconds?
Mine's
milliseconds.
About 3.5 seconds.
I guess it can. It takes 3 milliseconds for
nothing. I bring nothing to
the
table.
The pixel to.
To, I don't know, go on, turn on, or off, or to change color?
To Irv,
I'm not
like,
sure.
Stumble around on this one for a little while.
Instead, would you like
I mean,
enjoy
I'm guessing the response
Jessica
time
Alba's.
Is it takes 3 milliseconds. Oh, you're looking at Jessica Alba's
tuchus.
Tuchus.
She has a fantastic tuchus.
She has a fantastic whole lot of
She's
everything.
Never looked better than she did in Idle Hands.
But she's a pile of dog crap compared to my wife. I love you, honey.
Wow.
She's listening right now.
Wow. You know, has Keely been on page 3 lately?
Yeah, she has. She has.
Keely's always on page 3.
Have you seen Keely, James?
Duh.
Okay, sorry.
You showed her to me.
Okay, good, good.
But she's
no, we should drop a note to that UK wife. Publication and let them know that we talk about her. I'm sure they'd get a real kick out of us.
And incidentally, scroll. while we're
in a
talking
British
about,
humor sort
out of
play.
Hell with them. Just keep pumping out the Keely.
While we're talking about girls,
Keely, we love you.
Has Halle anybody Berry heard of John W. Keeley's work in the sympathetic vibratory physics?
No.
Well, apparently it exists on Google.
Yeah, James, you know how LCDs work?
Nope.
Let's find out how LCDs work.
LCDs work by basically there's some crystals that change, I think they
polarity.
Change to on or off. Yeah, they change their polarity based on a
in
voltage
3 milliseconds?
That you put across them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how do they do color?
It's actually a group of crystals.
Quickly.
It's actually a psychological trick. There's no color. You're fooling yourself.
You just believe the color's there.
Yep.
Really?
No.
That's
totally
amazing
true.
That it gets it right
if
every
you, if
time.
If you stop believing it, it'll go away.
That's right.
So...
Well, I won't stop believing.
Just like the spaghetti monster.
It's all in your
I'm
mind.
I'm going to hold
Matrix,
on to that
man.
Feeling. Yeah,
computer's
yeah.
not really there.
That was like
spoon.
That episode of Star Trek
you
with the OK
aren't
Corral.
Really in my house?
No. There is no We're in your mind.
I'm taking all my clothes off.
We are a nightmare.
That I agree with.
It's
you
too
keep hard to
having
find
every
porn
Wednesday
on the
night.
What'd you say, Russ? What did you say, Russ?
I tried to find this Keeley person you speak of, and I got no luck.
K-E-E-L-E-Y.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Go to page3.com.
Yeah, that was full of ads. I don't like it.
Yeah, just skip what? Are you crazy? Go to page3, P-A-G-E-3.com.
That's
number
too much
three,
work.
The number three.
I'm going to go read about XML again.
Hey, Russ, how many tabs do you have
Energetically speaking,
right
the
now?
Vortex 27. That forms in the center of a hurricane such as Wilma is also a natural particle accelerator and a massive capacitor bank. As the harmonic circuit develops, it resonates acoustically and functions as a capacitor, extracting the heat from the storm and transmitting it away.
Oh, without, I read that headline.
Without this electrical circuit, the storm would fail almost instantly due to the accumulation
was
of heat
real?
From condensation
or
of water.
Was that bullshit?
No, that's real.
What do you think, James? Wilma, the capacitor and particle accelerator.
Well, particle accelerator, yeah, because it makes small particles go faster, and I guess that's
and
a part
big particles
accelerator.
Too, and cows. Just
and
like
and actually,
Twister.
It's definitely accelerator because they go in a circle, and that's a change in your velocity's direction. And that's acceleration.
That's
right there.
That's a fictional force.
No, it's not. Don't even start. No, don't. No, not the centrifugal force that retards talk about. It's the centripetal
retads.
Force. Retards. What are you friggin'? What are you friggin' retarded? You don't know what
the
centripetal force
the
is.
My boy's a wicked smart.
The centripetal, which
come on,
means
everybody
center
knows the force is made up of metachlorines.
The force,
not this centripetal shit you're talking about.
The Newtonian forces are with you. Yes, that's correct.
No, seriously, James, what does this sound reasonable to you? That without without this electrical circuit, the storm would fail almost instantly due to the accumulation of heat from condensation of water.
You know.
Have
I'd
to
have to really think about that. Yeah, because that's tough.
I'm going to defer to nobody.
I mean, I guess it sure sounds plausible. It is from Commander Taco, after all.
Well, he posts almost everything on Slash.
I know, I know.
So does Scuttle Monkey.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
Heavy.
What are you doing?
Apache
no, this
web
is my
server
wife's computer.
Apache web server surpasses
oh,
the 50 million website.
That's her wife's.
What are you? What
she
are you? What are you
know
doing?
How to get in there and find yes. out what you've been.
What
serving.
Are you doing?
Are you just reading Slashdot?
No, see, that's it's a work
find
computer.
A, yeah, no.
It's
what about Slashdot?
Hello,
we're IT computer. Folks. We'll
here?
Fix it for you before
you
leave.
Stop. Oh, we're gonna have to edit this whole thing out.
Blogging has suffered some setbacks today. A very popular liberal blogger named Jerome is going to stop blogging because it's having a deleterious effect on his life. And at the students at Pope John the 13th, the Catholic High School, were told to take down their blogs from sites like Zanga and MySpace or face suspension. Reverend Kieran McHugh, which is strange because the name Kieran McHugh is typically Jewish.
You know what? That
no,
that
no,
is,
it isn't.
The school's
so
principal
much crap.
Said that he was trying to protect students from online predators. You
That's
know,
a big fat
I'm
lie.
Honest to God, I don't have kids.
That
but
is
I'm
directly.
I'm really getting sick and tired of. Having my fun curtailed in the name of children's
religion?
Safety.
Are you an online predator, Irv?
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
what he's saying.
Here I am, just trying to get laid. All right.
You have a wife.
You're
No, he means
like
literally.
Said, like
right
I said,
here,
I'm online
right here,
trying to get laid.
Trying to get laid.
So you know, I don't buy this whole protecting. I don't hold this. I don't buy this whole protecting the kids
I,
rap. I don't buy it. At
do you,
all.
Want, you want me to tell you what it probably was all about? Is somebody said they said a lot of negative things. MySpace is notorious for these kids kind of putting up blogs and talking to each other, and a lot of it's like, I hate the school. I hate the school. I hate this person. And
yeah, you
I'm
don't
sure,
want kids saying that.
Yeah, I know, right? But if somebody calls the principal, some parent calls the principal and complains that they found this or this, that, and the other thing, they're sort of obligated to do something about it. So they say, all right, then nobody can use it, which is craptacular.
You know what? But they can't
everybody
say that.
Everybody must wear a helmet.
The school's limit of influence and or
yeah.
ends when they leave.
I agree completely.
If they
want
to post to MySpace, then,
they,
you know.
What they probably did whatever. Was they took away their access, which they probably should have done in the first place.
What if it's a boarding school?
Well, they've got control of them the
and
whole
they,
time.
No, they have a boarding school. They can probably do whatever they damn well please.
Here's another one. The San Francisco Gay is reporting on a remote control for manipulating humans.
Yeah,
by stimulation of the inner ear nerves. And I guess what I would suggest, what I want to know is if you had a remote control that you could use on a human, what would,
Angelina
what
Jolie.
Would be some of the first things you might
I'd make
might
them use their turn
do.
Signals out on the roads.
Amen.
Interesting. I'd definitely make them speed up a little bit.
Drew would make me stop better.
Yeah, Russ, you don't stop very good at those stop signs and red lights.
I'm not a fan of first gear.
You're going to get a ticket. Are you a fan of getting tickets?
Better than first gear.
It's an expensive choice.
Not my best friend. I think that I would probably get a heck of a lot more oral sex if I had a...
I'm sorry, baby.
I'm not saying that I don't get enough. I'm just saying I'd get a heck of a lot more.
Well, no, what was funny was you said that,
by
and
definition,
she looks like
enough.
She's deep in concentration, and all of a sudden her is...
Yoko her is suddenly involved.
I can guarantee you're not getting any tonight.
I'd be willing to take that bet.
What do you...
I'm willing to put a few bucks on it.
I'd be willing to take that.
Hey, I got a new headline.
I guarantee you he does.
And what's the spread?
I'm not giving. You want to know? You want to know what the spread is?
It's down.
I don't think you want to know what the spread is, Matt.
That was unintentional humor.
Yeah, sure.
It was.
All right.
Good.
So remember a couple weeks ago we talked about eBay buying Skype?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
There's a theory here online. We speculated why the hell they would do that.
Yeah.
Joel on Software on. Joel on Software.com.
He's right about everything.
Joel Spolsky. That may or may not be true, okay. But he's definitely interesting. Joel theorizes that eBay became really bad at writing software because they got bought by MBAs who just wanted to run a company and marketed. And they identified this weakness that they can't go develop interesting new things, and they bought a company that develops interesting new things so they could start doing that again.
Not a bad theory.
I think that's very bold for a company to say we're not very good at something like that.
You know what? But if they really
said
that, I give them a hell of a lot of credit.
Yeah, I know some companies that should say that.
And exactly what it says here. Good for eBay, you know, that they identified this weakness. But I have trouble believing that the same people that would make a company bad at that would be astute enough to make that purchase.
Thank you, sir.
For that reason.
Do you,
which still leaves me not wondering why they did it, because I don't know.
Now, on the other hand, you've got Google, who is not only really good at doing, you know, building
they
new
mentioned
things.
Very much here that Google and some other companies, even Yahoo to some extent.
That was horrible, by the way.
Google and Yahoo are still very good at making new and interesting software and pushing the envelope. And
but their advertisements doing for so. Hiring are
actually, Google?
I think push the Google's advertisements for hiring
yeah.
people.
Well, when you're only
really
going to hire PhDs.
Envelope. Yeah, I mean, if they're only hiring people who can prove that they innovate and do and act on their innovation and do interesting things, well, then of course you're gonna do that. In fact, I'm surprised nobody's brought a lawsuit against them and said you guys are discriminating on
against
performance.
I'm gonna. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to hire some stupid people.
I'm gonna sue them because they're not hiring idiots.
Well.
Like
me. Well, I ain't ever going to work there.
It's un-American.
Well, let me ask you this. What is this business with this Google database? Does anybody have a grip on what this is supposed to be?
Oh, geez. You know, I don't have a good feel. Base.google.com is the new thing, and apparently it's live, according to Drew.
Yep, go there.
I'm going to go there right now. Base.google.com.
Now, I read it, and I thought, they're going to put up a database people can use sort of behind the scenes for web services, get good functionality out of it, and then, of course, be able to intelligently index upon that because they have access to it. I'm not sure that's what it played out at. Drew, you read more than me.
It's waiting for it, and it's not getting it.
Well, it's the first day. It might be a little bit stressed. But mm-hmm. it's when I went there, it was a way to put in information into Google. And they had a few templates set up. Like, there's
like,
you
hey,
know,
my webpage is the best? Go to
no,
it?
No, there wasn't one of those. But there's, like, a job posting or, like, a garage sale or, like,
oh,
different
is it Craigslist, basically?
I don't know exactly.
Actually, that's an interesting concept that they would normalize a bunch of random stuff that other websites have built entire business models around.
Sure.
That's a good idea.
And you could set up your own. I mean, I didn't do any of this, so I don't have a lot of data. But
is this anything like that weird thing that Mark Andreessen did? That social software construction
Ning,
tool?
I think it was called.
Ning?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's more general than that. Perhaps it could be used for that kind of thing.
You know, if a good practical joke that I'm told works very well is to advertise a garage sale at a neighbor's house that you don't particularly like for like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and say that they have a lot of featuring a lot of Nazi memorabilia, and you'll have a lot of really
especially if you're in Toledo.
A lot of interesting people on their front lawn about 7 o'clock Sunday morning wondering when the garage sale is going to start. And they probably will be pretty upset when you tell them.
You're some kind of monster, Irv.
The best kind, Irv. You're the best kind.
It's from an old book called The Art of Getting Even or Getting Even or something like that.
Dirty Work? Is that it?
No, yeah. I don't think it's called Dirty Work. It's called Getting Even by George Hayduke or something like
Sounds
that.
Sounds very CIA directed by covert ops.
It has weird old things like taking an extension cord and cutting it and stripping the wires, and then you plug it in and you kind of touch it to the phone speaker, the speaker in your phone, and it'll send this unbelievable jolt up the line and blow out the phone transformer for the whole neighborhood.
Impossible. I saw that in War Games.
Who does that get even with?
The neighborhood. I don't know. They also advocated putting an M80 in a sandwich baggie full of fresh dog crap and taping it to the ceiling around wall switch light bulb, and you cut a small hole in the bottom of the light bulb and you touch the wick to the filament so that when the next person who walks in the room turns the light on, they have about 3 seconds before they're...
The dog crap bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and flying glass and stuff. That's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty... It's called Getting Even, so they really need to be a jerk. He did give out Richard Nixon's Social Security number, so that updates the book a little bit also.
Well, thanks for that book reviewer
from 1974.
Anytime.
That was our flashback.
My fault.
My bad.
Were you even born in 1974?
I was. Yes. Born in 1972. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Getting even.
Doesn't that lower your opinion of me even more?
It lists Getting Even as a vintage book. Oh, that's Woody Allen's version. Vintage. Wait, let's see.
Drew, we need a physics question here, Drew. What do you got?
Charles Barton.
Nice. I got nothing at the moment. I may be a little bit, you know.
Okay, if you drop it.
I thought of this the other day.
You're telling me that you... What? Go ahead.
I don't remember why I was thinking of this, and it probably points to me being insanely dorky. Let's say you had a spaceship with a couple flywheels.
You're dorky.
Going opposite direction. And one of them jammed up. Like, it was just hanging out in space, and the ball bearings broke, and boom, the thing starts spinning. But they were designed originally to be offsetting flywheels. And the other one, would you then, if you stopped it, would everything even out?
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You have two flywheels. They're both spinning.
Yeah, opposite.
And why does one of them stop spinning all
of
a sudden?
One of them breaks.
And why does it stop spinning?
The ball bearings.
It shatters into a million pieces and it's gone now.
So it jams.
Flywheel disintegrates.
This one jams for whatever reason.
Okay, when it jams, your spaceship begins rotating unbelievably quick.
Well, if it's probably smaller than the ship, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
anyway,
the offsetting masses.
When you stop the other one, does that then stop the ship's rotation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you were on the far side of the ship when the original one broke, but then you were next to the flywheels when you jammed the other one? This is what I think about in the shower. Am I messed up?
God, most people.
Which question do you want me to answer? Yes, you're messed up, Russ. I'll tell you. That's an interesting question. I can't imagine how little I really know about this. Let me make something up. I'm going to say no.
I think the Leidenfrost effect comes into play.
Because of the gravitational inertia of the... I got nothing.
Leidenfrost.
No, I think Leidenfrost. Sure, Leidenfrost. Yeah.
What's Leidenfrost?
The Schadenfreude.
Bernoulli.
Yeah, the Schadenfreude. When you take pleasure in someone else's misfortune.
No. Leidenfrost is when you put the water on a really hot skillet and it turns to steam before it hits the skillet.
That's right. That's
and it flies around.
That's how you walk across coals, right?
That's when you put the lime in the coconut.
Isn't Leidenfrost that spread you buy at IKEA? For
Lincolnberry.
That's Nutella.
Put it on your toast.
Did you guys see that the White House has sent a cease and desist letter to the Onion?
I did.
To stop using the presidential seal.
In honor, did you see that FARC put up Photoshop this use of the presidential seal? So far,
that's
86.
Good stuff.
You gotta love those Farkers.
That is good stuff. Very good stuff. Seriously, James, answer the damn flywheel.
So about, my question was too geeky.
No, you know what? It depends. It depends on how it would be rotating. There would actually be some effect, but then if you walk back to where you were sitting, everything would be fine.
Oh, you're right.
I am right.
Oh, that's awesome.
I try real hard.
Hey, James.
I didn't get
hey,
that
what?
Far in the shower.
If
he blew his load too early.
I lost the soap.
Too bad you weren't dirtier.
Angular momentum.
There it goes again. James, I got to ask you, if you're on a spaceship, how could you create artificial gravity in the vacuum of space?
Well, actually, there's gravity in the vacuum of space. Otherwise, you wouldn't go in orbit in the vacuum of space. You'd just go flying off in a straight line path. But
that's what I'm saying. You're way the hell out there.
Well, all right. What you can do is you can make it rotate, and because of the centripetal force needed to keep you moving, you basically you can simulate a gravitational feel. Like when you go in a loop in a roller coaster, you feel pushed into the seat. Actually, what's happening is the seat is coming up and pushing you. But, it's pushing your butt up into your head as opposed to, you know, pulling down. What you feel is that compression, yes. And if it happens too much, then you put your head up your ass. That's correct. No, and basically you just make you make a large rotating ship. It doesn't even have to be that big. It just has to be, it has to rotate so that the acceleration is the same as the acceleration due to gravity on Earth, which is like 10. So a ratio of... velocity
so
squared to the radius.
That their gravity on Earth is 10.
It's basically 10. It's 9.81 something. 9.8159-ish.
Close enough for you.
Only if you're working in meters.
Yeah, well,
and
who
seconds.
Doesn't? I'm sorry. That's everybody else on the damn planet, but like four companies.
Hectares and rods.
Then you're wrong.
Then you're working on area.
Yeah,
and you
I don't
need
know
to
what kind of dimension
out.
You're in.
Yeah. You freaking, yes. How many furlongs...
How many furlongs in gravity?
Furlongs per fortnight?
Furlongs per fortnight, that's right.
What's that from?
Furlongs from comedy.
Yeah, furlongs per fortnight.
It's the classic fuck up dimension thing for physics.
Yeah. It's still, but it's dimensionally correct for speed.
It's not funny.
It's not that funny, but it's kind of funny. It's funny
to
somebody.
If you like Monty Python, I think it's funnier.
It is. It helps.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You wouldn't get it.
What the hell is this? Tiny disc?
I can talk about that.
A shared file system that runs on top of
so
tiny
some
URL.
So some messed up guy decided he was going to make a web-based
file system
wherein you jam a URL that's a fictitious URL into tiny URL, and that's data. You stick your data into a fake URL.
Brilliant.
It's ridiculous. And there's, I guess the actual implementation of it has some things so you don't actually make like 2 gig, you know, drives out of tiny drive or whatever it's called, tiny URL.
Tiny URL
is a service that if you have a long URL, like if you go to
Amazon,
you know,
or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's got like 300 characters. You want to put that in an email to somebody?
It's going
to
break across the lines.
It's going to be annoying at least. So you go to tiny URL and you put in the whole URL once. And then it spits you back tinyurl.com/some small number.
Yeah, like 6 characters.
Yeah. And then you can just use that.
And
it stays around forever, doesn't it?
I personally think it really bad. I can't believe it stays around forever, A. And B, it really obviously it's what you actually link to. And they could send you anywhere and tell you you're going to something cool. And you end up at whitehouse.com.
Lemon party.
It's bad.
That's
party.
Whitehouse.com. You could wind up at
bad stuff.
Goatsy.cx.
So I think it's a bad thing for the web in general, but that's an aside. So anyway, you provide them URL, you get back this little pointer to it. That's just like what a file system does. You stick some stuff in a block, and you get a pointer to that block. So some idiot thought it'd be a good idea to turn that into a file system. It's a thought experiment, I think.
How does it work?
You already explained how it worked. Weren't you listening?
But I didn't get it.
Well,
so
then
you're not the Leidenfrost effect.
You take Irv Katz and his address, and you jam it in as a URL. You tell him it's a URL, even though it's not really.
Yeah.
And TinyURL gives you
the data.
A link to it. You use that as the way you go get that information.
And then presumably you have some little program on your end.
It pieces a bunch of those together, and you can actually save your MP3s up on TinyURL. Don't do it. It's terrible.
That is awesome. That really is.
It is truly awesome and truly messed in the head, which is the best kind of awesome.
I'm trying it. He's going to try it. He's going to try it. Hey, Matt, can you tell me a little bit about wine?
Yes, it is possibly the best liquid on earth. Grapes grown.
You know damn well what I'm talking about.
Oh, that kind of wine.
Extremely long.
Wine which went beta.
Oh, the other wine.
Yes.
The Windows.
After
the Windows
12
emulator
years.
For Linux.
No, wine is not an emulator.
Well, I know it's not an emulator,
what
but
is
it is an emulator.
Go ahead, Drew.
I don't know what it is, but that's what it stands for.
It's an open source implementation of the Windows API on top of X and Unix, right?
Yes. Nice. Good reading.
So that means
I would know Dick Squad if it wasn't for Google.
To make it easy for all the Microsofters out there, it's like virtual PC for
Damn, a shot across
Linux.
The bow.
Where you can emulate, even though it's not really an emulator.
You can run
that's
your
what
office.
Wine stands for.
I know that's what Wine
you can run
for.
Your office applications, your normal actual Word on without buying a Windows license.
Yeah, you
was
think of it as
diss,
a
diss, by the way, from Dork Almighty that for you Microsofters out there.
It's a compatibility layer for running Microsoft Windows programs.
You're supposed to be studying.
For you computer challenge people out there. For people who use AOL.
As Sphincter says what?
Hey, by the way, did you see Monad?
Oh, I just talked to a guy that teaches philosophy and he's a big Leibniz fan this weekend.
How the heck did you get
a Monad? Or even Leibniz.
You know, whatever.
Or Leibniz. Monad is the new CRI shell scripting language for Windows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, CLI.
Yeah,
Command line interface.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a tour of Windows shell.
But it's built
one of my 29 open tabs is a tour of Windows shell. I haven't read it yet.
Use Cygwin. It's better.
Yeah, use Cygwin.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
They're saying that this is some really cool features.
I'm going to say there's a lot of aggressive interfacing to Windows scripting, which can really help you hook into things like Active Directory and stuff like that.
It also does...
Cygwin's
going to
be
a
lot harder to do with.
It passes objects. Object streams.
You pass I had to pass an object
Object
once.
Streams?
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, Monad, yeah, it's cool, and it's Leibniz stuff.
Yeah, how does ultrasound actually destroy kidney stones?
Very small rocks, yes. Yeah, it's just shaking the stuff back and forth, and it's not really well held together.
Is it like a sonic boom?
It's like a sonic boom, only tiny.
It's sonic boom in
and
your back.
Ultra, yes.
Bam!
Yes.
I'd probably spike.
Is it true that bubbles can actually produce sonic booms on a minuscule?
No, they produce light. That's sonolume. Yeah.
Bubbles.
You use sound waves. This is actually when I was graduating
cool.
from Case. This is what the guy who was my lab partner was starting to work on for his senior project.
Sonoluminescence.
Yes, there you go. You use
sound
waves. You use sound waves to create basically a vacuum, a pocket in underneath water. And, not an air pocket, it's a vacuum because there's nothing there. You use the sound waves to basically create a pocket, and when it collapses, it emits a photon. Yeah, isn't that slick?
What's that good for?
I don't know. Because
we have cheaper ways to create photons.
But it ain't bad, is it?
Why does it, so things collapse so hard?
My lab partner was working on this.
not so much your work.
Yeah, no, it's the world's worst light source ever.
But it's really cool.
It's really cool.
What about when they want to make the whole cavitation thing in front of stuff moving underwater? They can make subs. If you put a bubble in front of it, they move faster. Anyone heard of this? No.
Well, that's
like submarine sandwiches?
Yes, grinders.
Mm. Just that's like wind. Drums. It's low pressure.
Is this the Hunt for Red October 2?
If you can generate, like if you generate a bubble in front of a fast-moving thing in the water, it moves gets even less resistant.
Yeah, basically what happens is, he's right, it's a pressure thing. It's that the stuff behind you will want to flow into that space and will move you faster through it. Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess.
Not as cool as light, but,
Star Trek warp theory is supposedly doing. They somehow decrease the warp field in front of the ship and... That's what pulls it through space.
It's actually probably not too far past.
I'm sure
it.
Krauss has a book about it.
Coming full circle.
Book,
yes, Physics of Star Trek.
Do you think that's? I think that's a little distracting from real science. I guess it's
what
fun.
Is Star Trek or Physics of Star
that
Trek?
For a true full-on head of the department kind of guy is writing books about.
I think he wrote
fictional
it before
stuff.
He came to Case. But you know what?
Is it okay if the
popular.
Guy makes money? Do you mind if the man makes the money?
Well, I don't mind his money so much as ego, but
as
that's
a, no,
secondary.
No, seriously, as a physicist, anything that you can give to someone that at least somewhat sparks their interest in physics is always good for business.
They're desperate.
I mean, it got me on the radio.
Not really.
No.
Close
that,
enough.
That and my good looks.
We're not really on the radio. That's the problem.
We're not on the radio?
I'm sorry.
I'm out of here.
Dewey. Well, all right. That's it then. End of the show. Everybody's leaving. They thought they're on the radio. They really aren't on the radio, but they will be on the podcast. So do check the archives page and listen to this show sometime tomorrow. Or if you're hearing this for the first time, then you just heard the show and you don't really have to download it again. Listen to it again, or we can put you in some sort of ridiculous loop.
Wait a minute. Why are we finishing up here? We're still talking about Sun Illuminati.
I still have half a beer.
Because it's 9:15.
So what?
Okay, fine.
We started late anyway.
You know what?
Well, we started a quarter.
The ball game went into extra innings.
Again.
We can go into extra
innings.
Can I just
say that it disgusts me the whole... I hate the White Sox.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I'm curious
about
this.
As far as I'm concerned, we're the second best team in baseball here.
Damn straight.
I hate the White
Sox. Wouldn't
have
lost to anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I hate the White Sox.
You don't want them to win 88 years. You'd rather see freaking Houston win.
You got to be behind Houston.
I
don't know. I guess I was behind White Sox.
The White
care.
Sox.
Why would you hate them?
Because I hate their players. I hate Paul Konerko. I hate El Duque. I hate Contreras.
The only
I
person to like
Garcia.
On that team is the damn coach. He's
Eddie Pierzynski. Or A.J. Pierzynski.
I hate
Ozzie Guillen.
I hate Pierzynski.
It's the only guy you want to hate.
Uribe.
Well, who
I
plays
hate
for
Creedy.
Houston? You don't
I
even,
hate Pacific. All right,
stop it now. Nobody knows these people.
I hate them all.
Hey, Irv, what's that you're standing on? Oh, your soapbox. My fault. Anyway.
I don't like the White Sox. I hate the way they win games. I hate all the breaks they've gotten this year. I hate them.
They played good, right?
Yeah, sure. They've played good. They deserve everything they have, and I hate them.
Hmm.
They're going to win the
is
damn
it a
World Series.
It's a respectful hate,
jealousy.
Is what you're saying.
What I'm,
it's like the way I
you know
kind
what?
Of
oh
like.
My.
Look, hate is a really ugly emotion, and there's not. There's never a good and reasonable fountain.
Why don't you say there's a garage sale tomorrow at
Ozzie Guillen.
Ozzie Guillen's
U.S.
House.
Cellular Field.
At U.S. Yeah. Cellular Field.
Yes, Nazi memorabilia.
Nazi memorabilia.
Sunday morning, 7 a.m.
That's right.
First come, first serve. Yeah, well, I hate him. That's all I'm saying. I hate him.
Fantastic.
Of course, I don't really like the Astros either. I don't like Andy Pettit. I don't like Roger Clemens.
It's really
I don't like
amazing.
Roy Oswalt. I can't stand Biggio and Bagwell because they stink.
Exactly.
They're chumps. They're chumps.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about Sano Luminescence.
Right, back to dork stuff. Go ahead.
There's a bunch of different websites, but Sano Luminescence is probably one of the harder words you've got to spell. So good luck with that. But it's basically been around since 1934, and what it says that's we're
it's
finding
like the
pretty fascinating.
Effect.
Probably been around forever.
Well, okay, good point, jackass. But it was first discovered. That's like who discovered gravity? Well, the first guy that dropped something on his foot, right? All right. So 10,000 degrees Celsius is what they say the temperature in the bubble is. Possibly a temperature in excess of 1,000,000 degrees
Celsius. How much
in Kelvin? Plus 273 on top of that. That's right.
It might be a means to achieve thermonuclear fusion.
Or fusion in general.
Well, so are you saying I could have a sonoluminescence engine in the basement of my house and produce all my own electricity?
Yep. Get off the grid, man.
By, like, putting used...
Get off the grid, man.
But according to this webpage, and we should probably give it a little bit of credit here,
oh,
although
yeah.
I can barely read it, so it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you this. It's www.phys.lnl.gov/n_div. /sonolum, S-O-N-O-L-U-M.
Tilde F-Q
underscore ampersand, Y-Q.
E accent A-U.
Don't forget tilde. They always have tilde.
The mystery of how a low energy density sound wave can concentrate enough energy in a small enough volume to cause the emission of light is still unsolved. So you're, as you were saying earlier, you're taking this thing that, that just, you know, generally has not a lot of energy in it, and all of a sudden it's producing this phenomenal effect of emitting a low frequency?
Phenomenal.
Low wavelength.
Phenomenal.
Short wavelength.
Phenomenal.
Can we talk about the linguistic drift of the term quantum leap?
But one photon is not a lot of light.
Damn it.
Well, no, it's the point of it in that you've managed to, you know, take a little bit of energy. No, and produce quite a lot.
A photon's not a lot of energy.
It's a dense amount of energy, though. It's very dense. All the energy is in that one little thing that has no mass, dude.
So it's like an energy concentrator.
They say the energy concentration is about a factor of 1 trillion.
And it's the spectrum of light is well into the ultraviolet. It's a pretty short or a pretty high frequency short wavelength, which means high energy.
So you could get a tan.
But I can get a tan, I suppose.
The light flashes are less than 12
and
picoseconds.
It sounds good.
He looks kind
of
German.
Yeah, they're short.
Pico.
Yeah.
Pico. Picosecond is a billionth
of a second. Trillion?
Pico is a 10 to the negative 15th.
Mm. Is that bigger than a
I'm sorry, 10 to the negative 12th.
Is that bigger than a femto?
What's a taco?
No, femto is 10 to the 15th.
Second?
A yato, there's a yato and a yacto.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yes.
What's pico de gallo?
Pico de gallo is 10 to the negative 12th de gallos.
Of roosters.
10 to the negative, what? It's really finely diced tomato.
Wait, you know what a 10 to the negative 6th phone is, right? A microphone.
Oh my god.
That's I hope you don't ever use that in class.
That's right.
I hope you use that on our show.
That's right. I got a half a dozen of them, folks.
I got a half a
telegraph,
dozen.
Telephone, tell a woman.
That's a good one. Yes, that's three methods of communication.
Tell a woman, yeah.
On behalf of women.
And we have fingers in the air. The
Yoko
salute
says
from Yoko.
Russ is number one.
Russ is number one.
While we have a lull, can I give you a technology qua that I got today? Going away to school, this young lady was going away to college, and in our technological age,
what's her phone number?
A guy.
We need to answer the question.
I'm sorry. A guy I work with, a fellow teacher, gave her stationery. And I looked at him like, who writes fucking letters anymore? I said, well, why would you give her stationery? So she can write people. And I said, have you ever heard of email or phone or cell phone or anything like that? When was the last time anybody in this room wrote a letter by hand?
I'm terrible at writing letters.
By hand?
College girlfriend.
And send it through the mail?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Mm.
And why do they call it stationery if it always moves?
That's awful. That's terrible.
I got a physics question.
Why do you have a pair of panties and just
one? All right,
a physics question? What is it?
Go ahead, Yoko.
Why do things get shorter when they travel at the speed of light?
Lorenz, that fucker.
They change length.
They do.
I don't get
true.
It.
Which maybe that's why.
I didn't get it back in college. I still don't get it.
I can tell you how it happens mathematically, but I can't tell you why. Why is like an ugly physics thing. Like the why is like,
Well, why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
Yeah, because if they didn't.
I don't know.
I think it's because just like me, they long to be. Close to you.
Close to you.
No, it's good. No
why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
Well, I don't know.
Thermal physics jokes?
Oxymoron, much?
Replying to an invitation to a scientist ball. Pierre and Marie Curie were radiating enthusiasm. Einstein thought it'd be relatively easy to attend.
Wait a minute. We did this once before. Please, please just stop.
Hold on. I'm going to do a Google search for crappy jokes.
Ohm/
physics.
Well, look, Herb's picture will be right there.
Ohm resisted the idea.
Oh.
I think I lost an electron.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
That one's pretty good.
That's too
Audubon.
Did you hear about them finding the equation for humor?
No. Tell me more.
I'd have to look it up. I didn't do the research. Oh. It's from a couple weeks ago, though.
What was this?
That's not as funny when you don't have the answer.
Somebody found the equation for humor.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah. It's out there.
Well, I think it's probably bogus.
You wouldn't understand it.
Yeah, I guess not.
Look, physics geek, crappy jokes of the day.
Descartes said he'd think about it.
I don't even know what that means.
I think, therefore I am.
Cogito ergo sum. I
the
know
best
that.
Physics humor ever.
No, don't do it. End the show.
Come on.
All right, let's just end
this,
the damn show.
This once before.
Let's end the show.
I think if we push through this pain, though, we'll get to the best part.
Okay, maybe. I think so.
Yeah, the end of the show.
We got runner's euphoria. We got dorker's euphoria.
That's where I don't work out. I get that same feeling.
Walking up the stairs.
Larry Miller. Just to shout that out. Larry Miller.
Larry Miller is a genius.
He's gone on to do such fine work
like
as
a cheese sandwich.
10 Things I Hate About You.
He's been in a number of fine, fine roles.
10 Things I Hate About You.
I don't think so.
He's the dad.
All right, do we have any other questions for Dr. J?
No.
Are you really trying to tell me that if I dropped an orange and a bowling ball from a tower, they hit the ground at the same time?
I'm trying to tell you that no tower is going to let you lean out of a window with an orange and a bowling ball. In fact, they won't let you in.
How about off the
Have you ever been at Crawford roof? Because I know people have dropped monitors off that shit.
That's a good point. Now, I will say this, that they probably won't hit the ground at the same time because of air resistance, but if you drop a bowling ball and a slightly smaller bowling ball, yeah, they'll hit the ground at the same time.
You know, you can't dribble a bowling ball.
It's true. It will not bounce.
Well, it
what's
depends,
the coefficient
it depends
of
on the surface.
On
oh, yeah. About not.
James, do you know why a bowling ball is heavier on one end than the other?
Yeah.
The holes?
Okay. Who farted?
For rotation. That is a little stinky, and I'm not going to claim that.
It wasn't over here yet.
That's Matt.
Is everybody got that one? Sorry, guys.
Boy, that's ripe. Dork gentlemen.
I think we're getting to that point where the show gets really
that's
good.
That's going to clear the room.
This is what we were waiting for.
Is that the banana?
That is awful. I'm ending the damn show. I'm ending the fucking show.
We've been stuck.
Everybody,
out.
Thanks so much for listening in. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
You get all those pimps together. It was live.